Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on demand. Houston, we have a problem. Join Rod and the gang in Houston this December. Rod Peterson's VIP sports experience with Uniglobe Travel. Enjoy 5 nights in beautiful Houston, Texas with the Rod Peterson Show. See the Houston Texans and the Denver Broncos on NFL Sunday. Plus, the Houston Rockets and exciting NBA action and so much more. Visit rodpeterson.com for more information and to sign up now. Oh yeah, he's back.
It's two Ray Jacobs up there.
That's
time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
And then two football players.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right, welcome back to the Rod Peterson Show, everybody, on a hot Friday here in Western Canada. We're in the bunker for episode 30 of the program, and it's true. Today's show has been bonkers. It's been outstanding. Week 5 in the CFL opening up tonight. Opened up last night. The Edmonton Eskimos spanking the BC Lions 33-6. Friday night football tonight. Toronto Argonauts at Winnipeg Blue Bombers. Bombers favored by 14.5. TSN's got that one at 6:30 Mountain. It is game day in Saskatchewan. The Saskatchewan Rattlers pro basketball home tonight to the Hamilton Honey Badgers. 7 o'clock at Sastel Center. The Rod Peterson Show will be there. A big yahoo and a howdy to everybody at Country Thunder listening and watching today. Be safe, have fun, and maybe see you next year. John Frenzy's here, and as we welcome to the program, a good and longtime friend of ours, the great Ray Jacobs, who I just Wikipedia'd. And it says he's 79 years old from Corsicana, Texas. How you doing, Jake?
I'm good.
So you're telling me there's two Ray Jacobs that played football, apparently.
There actually is. And my nephews actually brought it to my attention, and we both played for Denver. So,
oh, right.
Yeah, we both played for Denver, so that's why when you punch my name up, it comes in. The only discrepancy is that I am African-American and he is.
Not. Right. Well, but Lynch was firing all the questions at you before we went on the air. So I'm scrambling through Wikipedia to find the proper. I mean, I remember you coming here. You were, let's tell some of our viewers that aren't familiar with that era. Mm-hmm. You were one of the first Calgary Stampeders that was a free agent to come over here. Of many, Eddie Davis, Henry Burris. I'm sure if I thought there was a lot more, if I sat here and thought about it.
Yeah.
But you started that era with Roy and Danny here and did some good things.
Mm-hmm.
What made you guys all want to come over here from the Stampeders?
It was Roy. I mean, Roy brought me in. He was the one that introduced me to the CFL. He brought me into the Calgary Stampeders, and we kept in touch. And it was just one of those things where we had that communication line that was open. And I trusted and I believed him. And at the end of the day, you know, it's only 6 hours away. And I guess the only option, if you want to stay close to Calgary, would be to go to Edmonton. But that would be like
no thanks.
A rider going to Winnipeg. So,
right. Now, you guys accomplished some great things. I know you had a lot of fun here, yep. Made a lot of new friends. So in retrospect, would you do it again? Or did you wish you'd stayed in Calgary, which is still, of course, the marquee franchise?
You know what? In retrospect, in hindsight, we always want to look back and we want to make changes. But at this particular time in my life, I just feel like, you know, everything happens for a reason. And, you know, you want to change things. The main thing for me is you just don't want to have regrets. And we all will. There are all things that we want to do over and stuff, but to do it all over again, I would probably say no. I would have still left. I probably would have still came here. I mean, these were decisions that were made not over a short period of time, but over a long period of time. And the way I see it is, you know, overall, I mean, football is a business, and at the end of the day, you have to keep it that way. You have to be aware that that's where it's going to come. It's not going to last forever.
Ray Jacobs with us here in the bunker, and I will say this, your time, how many years were you here with us?
I was here for a year.
Just
a year,
one?
Yeah, I was here for a year.
Well, it was memorable.
Almost like, I don't know, a year and a half, maybe or whatever.
Well, but you made a lot of really close friends in that locker room, man, because they still talk about you.
That's good. You know what? Actually, I saw Jeremy O'Day yesterday.
In the gym?
No, I was in the stadium. I was just visiting. I haven't been in the stadium. I just kind of got a good look at the bottom. I still haven't been there. But I was walking out, and he was picking up his daughter, and I saw him. It was good to see him.
Yeah.
It was really good to see him. And, you know, I the last time I was here, I got up, and I spoke to Nate Davis and Andrew Green. Constantly, you know, I didn't play with Paul Waldo, but me and him are becoming close people. So, you know, and that's the thing about football is the camaraderie. You actually do make friends from life because, you know, over the years, you know, you're fighting for the same goal. Blood, sweat, and tears are all spilled on the field. And when you go through tough, tumultuous times with people, that's when you really grow close.
Now, who was that front four with you? You came from Calgary. That was quite a catch to really make our front four even stronger. And it was pretty good as it was, but who was with you this
time? Sheldon Napustic. Then we had, what was his name? He was the other nose guy.
Canadian.
Yes, Scriff. He's from Moose Jaw.
Scott Schultz, 0-1. Yeah. There's the arrow.
And then of course, you had Nate Davis, and then there was Shante Peoples on the other side.
Well, that's a pretty awesome front four.
Yeah. Yeah. We got along well, and it was. I mean, you know, when I came here, they were calling us bookends, and I was like, what is a bookend? He's like, well, you know, it's kind of like you guys supposed to run the show and stuff. But, yeah, it was exciting. It was good. I mean, but I must say, things have certainly changed a lot since I played here. I mean, this city has grown. The stadium, even though I haven't been in it, is
oh, you're going to love that great stadium.
And it just seems like you guys just got things going a little bit better.
Yeah, all we don't have is a great football team right now, but that's taking time. I guess we're going to have to rebuild.
Yeah, yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, you know, it is a business, and people know. And you're going to have it's a revolving door. And unfortunately, if you're successful enough to stay in the game and retire from it, that's you're probably going to get that line from a coach one day. You know, this is a business. I'm sorry.
Well, interesting that you said you ran into Jeremy O'Day. You were teammates with him. You would have knocked heads with him in practice quite a bit back when they practiced in pads, right? You would have literally knocked heads with him. Mm-hmm. Did you think then that maybe this guy would be a general manager in this league one day?
You know what? You wouldn't. But I do know Jeremy O'Day was loved in the community. He always kept his head down, and I knew that he was a fan favorite. I guess for me, I know he could do anything he wants to. It's just a matter of knowing him well enough to find out what he wants to do. So,
right. Well, the interesting thing was when it was Ken Miller, who, interestingly enough, his wife is up from North Carolina here in town, had coffee with her this week. Kenny Miller brought in Jeremy, I think it was 2011, Lynch,
yep,
and said, we think it's time to retire. We'd like to offer you a spot in the front office. What do you think about that? Mm-hmm. And Jeremy was like, I'd never thought about it before. Let me think about it. And now all of a sudden, boom, he takes off on the road to being a GM, which is probably the way you're supposed to look at it. Right, Jake? One day at a time. I mean, it was presented to him, and now look where he is.
Well, and yeah, and now that I think about it, Jeremy O'Day was always one of those guys that was up on what was going on in the team. Even though he kept his head down, he still conversated with Roy. Like, a lot of guys would come in, and they only dealt with football and their friends, but he kind of, like, he was out into the organization. He knew what was going on outside. So it kind of makes sense now a little bit, you know.
Right. So you're in North Carolina. What you been doing since you left the CFL?
Oh, I've been living. I've been doing a lot of growing. I mean, I must say that. I mean, you know, when you go through life and you're playing football, I mean, it's easy to get caught up in so many different things. It's easy to get caught up in the game and actually think that the game will last forever. But getting back to the story, I have three beautiful kids in Calgary, Riker, Tayana, and Angelina. You know, being a father is full time. And in the meantime, I'm currently doing schooling. I'm working with CCIS in Calgary. That's the Catholic Community Immigration Society. And what they do is they deal with a lot of people as far as placing them, such as myself, being an immigrant, as placing guys and making them ready and available for the job market here and to help them provide them with work visas. However, on the flip side of things, you know, when I am here, I have worked with a lot of high schools. My major overall goal is to take what I've learned in life on and off the field and be able to regurgitate that to the younger players, right? Whether it be in the weight room, whether it be in the locker room, and whether it will be in a classroom setting on a mentoring aspect of things. But as far as work, you know, you got to pay the bills. And I believe it's the more you can do, right?
Well, I think you have the world by the tail. But here's the funny thing, Lynch. I'm at my gym, Evolution Fitness, a couple months ago, Jake. And
no,
I see
it was
this.
Actually, a year ago.
Was it that long ago?
Oh, yeah.
It was
like,
whatever it was. Time flies. And I see this guy going by me, and I'm just doing my little 30 minutes of cardio. I'm not pushing any serious weight like these guys. And I'm like, that guy looks like Ray Jacobs, but a lot smaller. Because I didn't know, like, you're big now, but you were big when you played.
Yeah, yeah, I was. And actually, I kind of shrunk down to my college weight. You know, the good thing about it is I've had a lot of evaluations that were brought to me through NFL. They've paid in fund. And it was about, you know, with the concussions and things that are going on. I wanted to see what was going on. And I am involved in the concussion lawsuit. But, you know, I had two. I've been through 2 years of testing. And, you know, fortunately for me, everything checked out, and it was a blessing, and the doctors were commending me, and they were telling me how few of a class I was in because of my health, and that's one of the things that we do not think about in general until it affects us. We don't think about our freedom until it's taken away, and we don't think about our health until it starts going bonkers, and then everyone's like, oh God, just give me one more day. You know, so these
and you can't buy it.
You can't. You can't buy land, and you can't buy more time. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So with all that being said, you just can't take things for granted, and I have it. And you know, my passion has always been in the gym. That is how I got to be a football player, and just on the mental aspect of things, it's done wonders for me. As far as my character, I mean, you got to think about this, mind, body, and spirit, right? I believe that you can tell a lot about a person from their outside. Because some would say that if a person looks good, well, the outside appearance is only a mere reflection of what's going on in the inside. So with that being said, I think that's my destiny, and that's why I want to be involved in sports. I'm good at it. It's my passion. I love it. It makes me feel good.
Ray Jacobs with us, former Denver Bronco, Stampeder, and Saskatchewan Rough Rider. We'll turn Lynch on him with football questions when we come back. And a lot of comments coming in on the Facebook string, too. Some really good ones about being a pro football player and mindset and so forth. And Craig McMorris coming up on the program as well. It is the Rod Peterson Show on a Friday. You're watching live on Facebook Live. Listen live at rodpeterson.com, Apple Podcasts, and iHeartRadio.
Houston, we have a problem. Join Rod and the gang in Houston this December. Rod Peterson's VIP sports experience with Uniglobe Travel. Enjoy 5 nights in beautiful Houston, Texas with the Rod Peterson Show. See the Houston Texans and the Denver Broncos on NFL Sunday. Plus, the Houston Rockets and exciting NBA action and so much more. Visit rodpeterson.com for more information and to sign up now.
Employer pricing is back.
It is the best time to buy right now.
You pay what we pay.
It's like you work here,
but you don't have to work here.
Check out this all-new 2019 GMC Sierra Double Cab. Its employee price is just $42,472 plus tax. That's only $138 per week. Plus, eligible Costco members receive preferred pricing on select vehicles and a $500 Costco cash card. Or take advantage of 0% financing up to 84 months.
You pay what we pay!
Bronco Plumbing and Heating has been servicing Regina and surrounding areas since 1978. At Bronco, we service all makes and models of furnaces, air conditioners, water heaters, and water softeners. Bronco also provides full sewer service, plumbing service, and duct cleaning. Call Bronco Plumbing and Heating today at 306-781-2090. Proud sponsor of the Rod Peterson Show.
We'll be right back.
If you're looking for radio that's got a great message, well, we've got it. LTD Radio plays the best of the 60s to the 90s, all with amazing stories about people right from your community. You can listen live right now at ltdradio.com, iTunes, Streama, and TuneIn. LTD Radio, music to build a better day.
Sports talk on demand. Head to rodpeterson.com to access all of the content you may have missed or want to hear again. Now, back to the studio with Rod.
All right, back in the bunker. Ray Jacobs, John Frenzy with us here. Craig McMorris is coming up. Friday morning sports update. Two teams heading in opposite directions meet in CFL action tonight on Friday Night Football as the Winnipeg Blue Bombers get set to welcome the Toronto Argonauts. The Bombers lead the Western Conference at 3-0, while the Argos are last in the East at 0-3. Last night, the Eskimos pasted the BC Lions 33-6. Blue Jays return from the All-Star break tonight as they take on the Yankees in New York. It's the start of a 10-game road swing for Toronto. After three games in the Bronx, the Jays will play four in Boston and three in Detroit before returning home. And breaking news from the Dub this morning, Darren Ritchie has been named general manager of the Brandon Wheat King. John, just before your football questions, here's one for Jesse from the Facebook feed. For Ray Jacobs, the former Stampeder, Rough Rider, Renegade, and BC Lion, as our director of scouting, Craig Smith, has pointed out this morning. As a player, Ray, have you ever heard someone call your team a rebuilding team? If so, what does that do to a player's mindset? Would a player find that term insulting?
Absolutely not. Because you're always rebuilding. I mean, even in the game of football, you build yourself up in the offseason to tear it down. And then you go back to the next offseason rebuilding. It's not insulting. It's all about the way you keep things in perspective. And let's just face it, if you're not one of those teams that's making it to the playoffs, and if you're not one of these teams that can make it to the Grey Cup every one or two or three years, then you're rebuilding.
Absolutely.
Ultimately, what's your goal?
Good answer.
What about the concussion thing, though, Ray? It's come a long way. It's still pretty serious. We know a lot about it here because of Chris Kalaris' incident.
Zach Kalaris' incident.
Do you think there's progress being made since you got involved, and 15 years ago?
Absolutely. Like I said, the NFL is doing a lot of testing, and they just came out with a report. And the way it is now that we have it, it's called BAP. It's called the Baseline Assessment Program. That's what it's called. And basically what it does is I think it's a high IQ test, but it involves a lot of different things, motor functions and things like that. But what they do is they measure you, and I will get measured every year. And what determines is not one of those things where you got to be drooling out of your mouth or missing things. It's a baseline assessment. It's you're here today, you're here tomorrow, you're here the day after, and once you hit a certain point down here, then you're declared eligible. But no, it is a serious thing. I think that everyone should get tested just to see where they stand point. And then there's a flip side of that is that you just don't know. You could be tested today and not have it and then have it later. It is a serious thing, and it's one of those things that kind of be monitored, but ultimately it's down to the player. I mean, think about over the years before the movie Concussion came out, and we even knew the statistics about it. Guys were out there, lights out, seeing stars. I was one of them. You know, it is I guess the first thing about the whole thing is that you can't conquer what you don't know. So we do know about it. So that's the start.
I don't know. Former NFL, CFL D lineman Ray Jacobs with us. You talk about the movie Concussion. You know what? Guys bring up the movie Concussion all the time. Have you seen it, Lynch? The movie Concussion?
Yep.
Starring Will Smith?
Sure have.
If you viewers and listeners haven't seen it, you gotta see it. But I walked out of the theater with my wife. I turned to her and I said, if I didn't work in football, I would hate the game of football after watching this. Did it do more harm or good to the sport of football, Jake?
I don't. I think as far as the parents and the kids, I mean, I know that a lot of parents are putting their kids into flag football, which is good because flag football will build coordination, hand-eye. those things, strength, speed, and agility. And it's good. It's a good setup for other sports. However, for the game of football, I don't think it's going to affect it because there's too much money out there and the game is too loved.
Good. So then the game's not in trouble. I don't think it is either.
No.
Another question from the Facebook feed. What does Ray think about the hit that took Zach Collaros out? Did you see that one?
I did.
In week one, what'd you think?
Oh, it's definitely dirty. That's all you can say about it.
What about the suspension? We're waiting to hear. They said by Saturday at the latest we should know, but he's probably going to play Simone Lawrence. Mm-hmm. This has been a month since the hit happened, and we're still sitting here waiting. I don't get it. I'm not a very smart guy. I'm a farm kid. Not that farm kids aren't smart. I'm just not. Why does Simone Lawrence need to spend 10 hours with an arbitrator on Tuesday to explain himself? 10 minutes should have got it done. The whole process itself is whacked. I don't understand how this process works. I understand unions and stuff, and I've never been through it, so I don't really know. That's why I'm saying maybe I'm not stupid. I'm just not educated in it. But I said one game will be fine. Let him sit, and let's move on. Ray, what do you think he deserves for that as a guy that literally... Well, you didn't play that position, but you know what I mean. You chased quarterbacks down.
I did. And, I was looking at it a little bit earlier today. And as a player, I know the adrenaline gets going. I know emotions. I know some people want to kill everyone in sight. But at the end of the day, you got to play it safe. And you got to keep and respect the integrity of the game. I don't know his financial situation. I wish him the best. I know that it has to be looked at and it's got to be taken care of properly just because of the name that's involved or the names. And it's just one of those things like, like Michael Vick, if you're the first to do something and you bring attention to yourself, they're going to make it.
You going to jail?
They're going to make an example out of you.
Yeah, but 10 hours. I'm with Ron. I don't understand why would it take him 10 hours with the arbitrator. I don't get that at all. And was Collaros not there?
Well, we don't know.
No, we don't know. But, I mean, he should have been.
Yeah, 10 hours is a long time to do anything. However, I think they're just playing about a book because everybody's watching.
Yeah, that's a good point, too, which reminds me, everybody's watching what the CFL is doing with 2.0. This morning, the CFL announces a partnership with Great Britain. It's the 11th country or region partnering with the CFL for global growth of the game. Are you watching this? What is your take on what the commissioner is trying to do here?
Actually, I haven't been watching it. I'm going to be perfectly honest with you. So, I mean, if you want to tell me a little bit about it.
Every team has one or two players from Europe or Mexico on their roster this year. This is you got to see his face. Ray's like, what?
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, and it's a partnership. Lynch, do you want to take it from here? Like, it's a partnership with European countries and Mexico to grow the game.
On each roster, on each team. Each team has one or two, maybe three of these people on their roster right now, dressed for each game and see some action. They're supposed to see more action, of course. It's hard to force.
But they're not good enough.
They're not good enough. Strange concept. I wish the commissioner had straightened out Toronto and Montreal and Vancouver and get to Halifax in the league. I don't know why he's over on the other side of the country, of the world, signing up these players and that, but... What do you think of that? Did you ever have guys from Mexico and Europe playing?
Of course he didn't.
Actually, the only player that I've heard from Mexico that was actually good and played was the kicker in the NFL.
Right. Yeah. There's like 22. I looked this up when this whole thing came up last winter that they were going to do it. There were 22 players from Mexico that had played in the NFL and 17 were kickers. Mm-hmm.
But if you look at it from the business standpoint of view, and let's just face it, when you deal with big firms, you deal with corporates and organizations, we don't know behind the scenes what's really going on. However, I can see where he would probably, because of Canada and having so much of ethnicity, diversification, I could see where he would probably want to bring in, support all races in the game of football.
I'm with it. I'm struggling with it, as are you, I think, Lynch.
Yeah.
I get what he's trying to do. He's trying to expand beyond our border because there's only so many tickets to sell, within our border. We're shrinking. Let's go worldwide here. But cramming players down our throat is challenging the integrity of the game. That's what I think. Yeah. But you got to start somewhere. You got to start somewhere. Jake, what do you got? One last word for our viewers, listeners, a message to them or how you're doing, an update. The floor is yours.
You kind of put me on the spot.
Anything they should know about you? What's up? Are they going to be seeing you?
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, I must say, just because of the things that I've been through in life and some highly publicized and some things not publicized, I think that I feel like everything that I've been through, I think that all the good, all the bad, I think that is all going to come in fruition and bring me to a point where
you can help others.
Where I shine.
Yeah.
And I just think that, it's good for you to have me up here. A lot of people probably want to know where the players are doing. But as far as Mr. Jacobs, well, I'm looking forward to great things in the future. And they should, too.
Good. Jack Fulton's watching this morning from Calgary. He says to say hi. He's been doing a lot of great work with the Stampeders over the years.
I love Jack. Jack's a good friend of mine. I talk to him a lot.
Right. So hi to us, to you from us, Jack Fulton. I appreciate it. Ray Jacobs, you're going to be hearing his name a lot. We'll be back. Craig McMorris coming up on the program. It's the Rod Peterson Show Facebook Live. Listen live at rodpeterson.com, Apple Podcasts, and iHeartRadio.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
Building a deeper connection with our fans by putting them in the show. It's a new era of sports talk. The Rod Peterson Show airs from 10 to noon, Monday to Friday on Facebook Live. Join the conversation today and tune in. Online, on your phone, at home, at work, follow us on Instagram, Snapchat, and Twitter. And subscribe on YouTube for all the content you want to watch. Don't wait, do it right now.
Your economic security does not lie in your job. It lies in your power to produce, to think, to learn, to create, to adapt. That is true financial independence. It's not merely having wealth. It's having the power to produce wealth. We are your power to produce wealth. We are your freedom to make your dreams your reality. We are your shield against uncertainty. We are your family's protector when you no longer can be. We are your assurance that the light you see at the end of the tunnel isn't a train. We are comfort, clarity, and peace of mind. We are your financial guardian angel. We are 2020 Wealth Management. We are all these things and more. And we welcome you. Come see us and prosper.
If you've been using an inefficient heating system for indoor or outdoor use, you might be surprised by the quality and comfort that zone-controlled infrared heaters offer. Heating Green's energy-saving infrared heaters transfer sun-like warmth directly to people and objects without noise or maintenance. Increase your comfort and decrease cost, room by room. Our silent infrared heaters are perfect for indoor and outdoor spaces. For greater comfort using less energy, contact us at heatinggreen.com.
Nestled in the scenic Qu'Appell Valley, just 20 minutes northwest of Regina, is one of the finest golf courses in all of Saskatchewan, the Deer Valley Golf Club. The clubhouse has a full-service restaurant, and customers can enjoy a casual dining experience with spectacular views of the golf course and valley. A fully stocked golf shop, staffed by PGA of Canada professionals, is equipped to meet all of your golf apparel and equipment needs. Book your tee time, family event, or corporate tournament today at the Deer Valley Golf Club. Call 306-731-1445 or log on to deervalleygolf.ca.
You got something to say? You want to add to the show? What are you waiting for? Don't just sit there. Say something. Now, back to the studio with Rod.
As if it already hasn't been enough fun, it's going to be even more fun. Or maybe fun in another direction here on this Friday morning on the Rod Peterson Show. We are in the bunker in a field in Western Canada. That's all you need to know. And I want to thank the great guests on the program today already. Ray Jacobs, Brother Jake, who was just in here. Darian Durant, Chris Getzlaff, John Frenzy, and Darren DuPont rejoins us in the bunker. We're pleased to be joined by Craig McMorris, professional snowboarder, sports broadcaster, and the better looking of the McMorris boys.
Wow. Okay, I'm going to take that. I'm going to run with it. That's a very nice compliment. Thank you, Rod. I don't fill out this chair quite as good as Big Jake's, Brother Jacobs.
How ripped is he?
His poor legs were just sucked in here. I feel like a shrimp right now, if I'm going to be perfectly honest with you, but thanks for having me on the program. It's a pleasure to be here.
Craig, I'm going to tell you something about yourself, your family that you may not know, but you should.
Okay.
It's your dad's birthday today.
It is my dad's birthday.
Did you know that?
I did. I gave him a hug, high five, heading out to the lake after this, and we're going to have celebrations and all that kind of stuff. We host Grandma's 86th birthday out there, so our mom is exhausted and doesn't want to host, but we're bringing out a bunch of people and going to do it all over again, right?
It came up in my Facebook feed this morning. Don McMorris's birthday today, because you know he's something of a legend in Milestone, Saskatchewan. He was my driver's ed instructor. He was a star with the Milestone Flyers. Don, when he was about your age, it was a big deal. And of course, went on to be our MLA, yep. Milestone Indian Head and all yep. the rest. Now, this farmer look you got going on,
yep.
is that just for Country Thunder or is that everyday look for Craig McMorris?
This is a necessity look. So I flew in from Vancouver. I only had one change of clothes because I was down in Vancouver doing a bunch of stuff. I hosted a conference down there and I flew here and everything in my closet was just this. So
Wranglers.
Wranglers, button down shirt, and I'm comfortable in it.
Put the boots up on the table. There you go. See?
Oh, nice.
Yeah, here we go. Now we're ready. Now I'm having fun. Now we're relaxed.
You make yourself at home. Well, that's the... You found out very quickly what we're doing here.
Yep.
As Clark, our producer, says, because you wanted to know if you should take that hat off. We're like, if you're going to wear the hat out the door, wear the hat in the studio. Be yourself. Hence my Regina Pats golf shirt that I picked up yesterday. And thanks for the discount, Crystal, in the Pats store.
It looks great, by the way.
Yeah, I love it. The Pats, obviously my favorite team. But Red Bull... You guys are big with Red Bull, aren't you?
We are.
Really big.
We are, because they have supported us, Mark and myself, for our entire career. You know, they've done so much good for us. They have rehabbed us back from broken legs and broken bodies and all that kind of stuff and invested in us, and we've invested in them, and they have supported every single one of our foundation galas and softball tournaments, so they have been with us since day one. I like to call them my ride or dies, you know? They're going to stick it out to the end.
I love it. Anyway, we all need those.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly.
Well, my first, interaction with Mark was... a few years ago at the Red Bull sponsored Wings for Life, the world run in Saskatoon, which was super cool. The run they have all over the world, but they all start at the same time. And you're racing against that catcher car or whatever that chases you down. And I think it was like 2 a.m. or 3 a.m. that we were running. It was pretty neat. I don't know if you were at that one or not.
I was. Okay. It started at 3 a.m, but I had a sprained ankle, but that was the first one that Red Bull had done. So they put everything into it. Every athlete is going to run, going to do all these things. I was the first one to be caught by the catcher car. I made it 500 meters, and I think the winner made it like 2 marathons. He ran 2 marathons, so I was last. He was first, and it was at 3 a.m. because obviously every single race starts at the same time. The headquarters for Red Bull is in Austria, so they wanted to start at noon in Austria and then obviously work back from there everywhere else. That was a cool event. Still going.
Actually. Yeah, is it?
Yeah.
This is Craig McMorris in studio for those online-only listeners that can't see who we've got on the air today. You and your brother making this province so proud, putting us on the map worldwide. We think about it all the time, how proud of you both that we are. What is life like for a professional snowboarder, particularly when it's 31 degrees and sunny like today? When there's no snow on the ground, what are you guys doing?
Life is nice right now. I do love snowboarding, but it was a very long winter. And when it's your job, it's really fun. But there's also huge parts of it where it's really gnarly and scary, and you have to, you know, push yourself and push what people think the sport should be at and all that kind of stuff. So it's nice to take a little break in the summer, come out to the cottage, you know, see everybody, see all the friends you grew up with and stuff like that, and have a good time, and then obviously do cool shows like this.
Where are you guys at? Echo Lake?
Echo Lake, yep.
That's what I
thought. Echo Lake, yep. We went for a couple of wakeboards the other day. I did a slalom water ski, and I haven't done that in a long time. Upper body, not that good. Lower body, great. I think my arms are going to fall off right now, gentlemen.
I think really you're above average upper body strength, I would suggest. But of all these, because I'll be honest, extreme sports, so out of the realm of what I'm used to. Mm-hmm. I often say I speak Canada's two official sports languages, hockey and football. Anything other than that, I got a bit of a, I mean, I can talk, I can hold my own in baseball, I'm learning lacrosse, basketball, yes. Extreme sports, I don't know much about it. So let me ask you this. When you do these media events, what's the question you get the most, and you're doing them all over, that you're tired of answering?
The one question I'm the most tired of answering, that's a really good question, actually. That makes me think, is how people group it all together, right? Like, skateboard, snowboard, like, it's all the, right. It's this thing. It's like, the difference is football. Snowboarding's football. Skateboarding's hockey. You know, BMX is lacrosse. Moto X is, you know, lawn bowling, for lack of a better term. But you know what I'm saying? They're very, very different. And when you dive into it, you see these personalities. You see what countries are talented at what. It was funny when you were talking to Ray about Mexican and European CFLers. You know, that's just like, you know, a southern hemisphere country. They have a lot of snow and they still do it, but there's really no pro snowboarders from southern hemisphere countries like a Chile or an Argentina or something like that. So there's so unique, the sports, you know, and the more you dive into it, you find those uniquenesses.
What's the one extreme sport, or the one sport that you kind of wish you had done or that you'd like to do more of? I remember when I was watching, when it was first really coming in and starting to be on mainstream television and stuff, I always thought the street luge, where they're on their back, right? And I always thought that would be the most fun to do of all the sports.
The one where they're like going down the mountain with like full leather and
exactly, and they're leaning,
and
exactly,
your skin. That's the most fun for you?
Well, I just thought that would be so cool. So I went out to the street and I'm like, you know, get on the wagon or the skateboard, or whatever, lay down. It's not the same.
No.
It only goes for about 20 seconds, but I always thought that would be fun.
I think I would step away from that. I respect that answer. For me, it was skateboarding, because we wakeboarded, and we did all this kind of stuff at the cabin, and skateboarding is of all the action sports. You know, I'm going to check my answer right now. I'm sorry. Sorry to the listeners. I'm going to change it. I'm not a liar. Surfing. We are so far away from the ocean, and when you do start to learn how to surf and you get it and you do it a little bit, you realize how insanely difficult it is. And it's the thing, it's the 10,000 hour rule plus five. You know, you need to do it for 15,000 hours, because not only do you have to be good, you have to understand your terrain. You know, snowboarding, you have to understand, read terrain, all that kind of stuff, but the terrain isn't changing instantly, you know? Surfing was the wildest one. So I'm really ecstatic. That's in the Olympics in 2020, Tokyo.
Oh, good.
So that'll be fun. I'm hopefully going to be calling that, maybe.
It's funny that you guys must have some sort of daredevil gene in you, because I've spent considerable time on the coast and I watch the surfers, like I'm standing there 50 feet from them going, I don't even want to try that. That looks so hard.
It's insane, especially the power that the ocean has. Like, once you stand there and you can hear, like, you're kilometers, miles away from the ocean and you can hear the waves crashing, you're mm-hmm. like, I don't want to be under there right now.
Maybe I'm just getting old, because, you know, bull riding, steer riding, you'd see people do that. Why am I tried that?
Yeah, but
you know, but I'm old now. Maybe when I was your age, I would want to do these daredevil things. I just don't want to do it anymore.
We stand 10 feet, 20 feet off the shore and a little wave takes us down. We come up with sand in our hair and stuff. Imagine being in the 10, 12, you know, 15 footers.
It's gnarly surf.
So they still say gnarly? Is that a thing in your world?
You know what? I try to expand my vocabulary every day. So, you know,
gnarly's new.
If the language isn't changing, it's dead, right?
Fast Times at Ridgemont High is where I first heard that. I didn't realize they were still using it. Great movie, by the way. Some questions here from our Facebook feed. A lot. From Dan Heimbecker. What's it like watching and commentating when your brother is competing in the Olympics?
That's a good question. Thank you, Dan. It's easy. Because I just go into this zone where I'm extremely analytical and responding to my color guy, right? So I'm the analyst, we got the color, and we're just bouncing back and forth. It's similar to you. Like, I feel when you're calling games, or when you were calling games, you kind of hone in,
yeah.
You know? You're just like in this tunnel, and the names matter, and you know everything that they've done, and it's way easier to call Mark because I know everything about him, but you don't, there is in your stomach, you're kind of feeling, I want you to do well, but it would never come through my voice. It was never a challenge. Like, I never had to check myself. So, I mean, it's not hard to be unbiased because it's just snowboarding. I love snowboarding. I love talking about it.
Well, not to mention, you're not judging, you're broadcasting.
True.
That would be true. Different.
Yes.
Right?
True.
That's a really good point. The other thing about your brother with the incident, how tough was that for your family to go through? And how close were you to losing him? Were you close to losing him?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. There was like a medevac flight that was, it was very close. Like as close as you can probably be. Just so much internal bleeding and collapsed lungs and all that kind of stuff. With that much trauma, you know, your body can fight one thing, but it can't fight them all at the same time. So that was very, very close. For the family, it was hard. But I mean, I compound fractured my leg and had to get helied out of the backcountry. He snapped his femur in LA and had to get that fixed right away. Like, injuries are part of it. You're going to get hurt. That's just the simple fact of it. To that magnitude, hopefully nobody has to go through that. So I think there was a little bit of training for us. We realized the process. It was just scary, you know, just scary. But once you're on the other side of it, I mean, you're stronger, you know, you're more educated about how your body works and all that kind of stuff. And you just weigh a little bit more because you got a lot of metal in you.
You sound like bull riders a little bit. Now, do you guys have a kinship with other extreme sports? Because when we went out to the PBR a month ago, it was early June in Moose Jaw. They're like, Rod, thanks for coming out here. We don't get any coverage. And blah, 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 and it's kind of similar to you guys. Is there a kinship?
I think so. I love the rodeo more than anything. I was maybe going to go to Calgary Stampede to catch it today, but had Don's birthday, obviously. Not going to bail.
Right.
And the Rod Peterson show.
And the Rod Peterson show, obviously. So I love the rodeo so much. Grew up the rodeo, you know, milestone and all those kind of things. We were always on the sheep running around. And I feel like those guys don't get enough coverage because it jumps back to that question is there's just people aren't educated on the sport. You know, once you dive into it, there's so many intricacies and there's so many cool athletes and there's so many names that you can get behind. So I feel like there's a real kinship between maybe snowboarding in Saskatchewan and rodeo in provinces where it's not as big.
Yeah, for sure. What else do you have for Craig before we let him roll and get out to Echo Lake for Donnie Mack's birthday?
You talked about being on the water. You know, when you get a chance to come back, this is kind of getting away from everything, right? So what's kind of on your to-do list when you get back to Saskatchewan?
See all the boys, see the family, get on the boat. Because we spent so many hours on that boat. My dad was telling me, we've gone through two wakeboard boats in our career or whatever. And those were huge purchases for our family, huge investments. So we wanted to like get out there as much as possible. So when we come back, get on the boat, go for a wakeboard, go for a wake surf, go for a water ski, and then maybe cap it off with a barefoot. We'll see.
Where is your full-time home?
Whistler, British Columbia. I've been traveling so much, so I'm not there that often. I think I've got like maybe a week in total in the past 2 months, but I love it there. Best place to go home and one of the best mountains in the world.
We have a question here. I think this is from Clark. Is this your question, Clark? Yeah. What is it like from a broadcaster's perspective at the Olympics versus an athlete's perspective? Because you've done both.
Good question, Clark. It's so extremely different. Just the amount of like freedom you have as a broadcaster as opposed to an athlete. As an athlete, you're in the athlete's village, you're in a bus to the event, and then when you're done, you're free, right? But you're kind of just not, for lack of a better term, you're in jail. You know, you're in jail until you finish, then you can go do whatever. As a broadcaster, you have responsibility and you're doing all this kind of work, but you're free to, you know, just walk outside of your compound and go do whatever you want around the town. Like in Rio de Janeiro, for the 2016 summer games, we were way out in the boonies. That's where they had us. And we would just like walk around and do whatever where the athletes could not leave the athlete village. So I think that's probably the biggest difference. And you're probably not as nervous because you don't have to compete in the Olympics. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Absolutely. Craig McMorris, keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you,
keep
Ron.
Making us proud.
Thank you.
Say hi to your dad because he was a huge influence in my youth, and that's a compliment.
I got to ask you one question, sorry, before we go.
Please do.
As a driver's ed instructor, how was he? Did you get your license first try, too?
Took three.
Three
and,
tries.
And I will not name the town because your dad used to go to all these little towns to do the driver's ed. And he said, well, I just came from this town. And I found out they can't do driver's ed and sex ed on the same day in that town. We said, why? He said, they only got one car.
That is awesome.
And I one day I said on the radio what town that was, and I just got lambasted for bringing that up. So in the break, I'll tell you what town it was. It was Rollo. No, it wasn't. It wasn't Rollo. That's Lynch's hometown. That's why I yelled it. We got to take a timeout. Thanks again, Craig
McRae. Rod, thank you.
The overtime segment is coming up next. We're live on Facebook. We're listen live at rodpeterson.com, Apple Podcasts, and iHeartRadio.
He's covering everything that matters to you. It's the Rod Peterson Show. Tune in live Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to noon, to catch the show live and be a part of the action. Take control by commenting live and sharing the show with your friends.
Employee pricing is back.
You get to pay what I pay and the whole entire pre-owned inventory.
Plus, we're Ford of Canada's number one pre-owned store, right here in Regina.
This 2018 Nissan Rogue SV all-wheel drive is employee priced at just $22,999 plus tax. Or check out this 2011 Jetta Highline Diesel. It's employee price, just $11,999 plus tax.
You pay what we pay!
Locally owned and family operated, Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body. Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
Sports talk on demand. Head to rodpeterson.com to access all of the content you may have missed or want to hear again. Now, back to the studio with Rod.
All right, we're in the overtime segment. It is a Friday morning sports update time. The struggling Toronto Argonauts look for their first win of the season when they visit the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. In CFL Friday Night Football, the Argos will be in tough against a Bombers team that has won its first three games. Toronto's McLeod Bethel Thompson and Winnipeg's Matt Nichols make up the quarterback matchup tonight. Last night, the Eskimos pasted the BC Lions 33-6 before 17,026 at BC Place Stadium. Hockey news. The Carolina Hurricanes and free agent center Ryan Dzingel have agreed on a two-year contract worth $6.75 million. And Philadelphia Flyers president Paul Holmgren has stepped down to become a senior advisor for the franchise. Holmgren has been a Flyers player, assistant coach, head coach, GM, and president for 40 years. GM Chuck Fletcher will take on the new title of president of hockey operations and report directly to Comcast Spectator chairman and CEO Dave Scott. Blue Jays at the Yankees tonight as well. John Frenzy here. Darren DuPont joining us in the bunker as well. As we are in the overtime segment, as I mentioned. Before I get to Lynch, about an interesting scoop he gave me this morning. How cool was Craig McMorris in here this morning?
That was pretty awesome. Yeah,
you like that, eh, Lynch?
Oh, fantastic. Love that guy. Love the Morrises. Yeah, great people. And those two boys are just out of this world.
Make us very proud.
Oh, yeah.
Nice to get into that world if Craig can help us out there.
No, it's cool. It's just cool to connect with different people, and especially people from around here that have gone on to great successes. That's what's fun, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, tons of fun.
Why is everybody going so bonkers about today's show? I feel like Ray Jacobs really shook things up when Jake came in here.
Well, it was good. You know what? It's about people. It's about moments. We had a great one with Chris and Darian on together. I thought that was
really
cool.
Good too.
Even just, you know, at the end of it, where it's like, hey, man, what's up? Like, how have you been? They haven't
Darian
seen each other.
Durant, man, that was a big one.
They're reconnecting on our show, so that's kind of neat.
Darian Durant, a big one.
Yeah.
So, Lynch, the scoop that you gave me on the way up here, I'm not even sure if it's scoop. Maybe it's just gossip. But you said they're building a new stadium around Vancouver. Do you remember telling me that?
Yeah, for cricket, I understand. To play cricket. Aren't you glad to know that? And People go, oh, don't be so full of it, Lynch. You're crazy. It's a big sport in the world. You've watched baseball. Did you watch the Yankees and the Red Sox play in London? They played in a cricket stadium that had been refigured for the baseball.
Right.
And they showed the stadium. It's beautiful, fantastic, for 85,000 seats to play cricket. Have you ever seen a cricket game?
No.
Neither have I.
Well, just when I drive by it, I was driving out, I think at, what street is it? 12th Avenue that goes up to the Royal Regina?
13th.
And there's a ball diamond there. And I saw some new Canadians, young kids, like young early teens, playing cricket on the ball diamond. I stopped, rolled down my window and said, at least somebody's using it. Because kids don't play ball anymore. And they're all waving. Who is that guy?
It's a big deal.
That was it.
That's big,
it.
Big in England. Big in Europe.
It's how much we've changed. Baseball used to be baseball out there or street hockey. Now it's cricket and soccer. Not that it's not a bad thing at all, but it's just different.
It's bad for baseball
hockey. For baseball and hockey. For sure it is. But we're not used to seeing that in the park now. They're having cricket games. I don't know what's going on. But I think it'd be cool to get out and play one day. I think that'd be fun.
Cricket?
I'd give it a shot. What the hell? It's not riding a bull.
I never thought soccer would have a chance of doing anything, eh? Famous last word.
Not but by the way, if they're going to build a new stadium in Vancouver, which, by the way, you're the second person to tell me that. I've heard that. An outdoor, smaller stadium. And if it's for cricket, is the primary use, and the BC Lions just happen to be a tenant there, what the hell's wrong with that? At least they're getting a new stadium.
Yep, nothing. But what I don't like to hear, 17,148 fans at that game last night. That's amazing.
I don't know.
They're not number one out there. Number four or five in BC. And they didn't help themselves last night.
Well, the team has to do its part when the marketing staff is working its asses off, like the Lions staff clearly is, with all the things that they did, sending out personally autographed postcards to all their season ticket holders from Mike Riley. Like, that takes creativity. You saw, did you watch the game last night? They have the kids, the dance group, where they're running through the crowd and they're doing, like, they're the Lions marketing staff's working their ass off. Look at all the people they've put on this show. Yeah. G. Roy Simon, Travis Lule, Deron Carter, I believe Otha Foster's, like, they're working hard. And then the players, unfortunately, laid an egg.
They fouled out there. This offense would shoot the lights out of it. Be spectacular with Mike Riley at quarterback.
They should turn the lights out, not shoot the lights out.
That's right. But I'm saying to you, the next two games, back-to-back series, Rough Riders and BC Lions, is critical for both teams.
Thanks, Tips.
Don't you agree?
Thanks, Captain Obvious.
Don't you, Darren. You agree.
Yes, of course I agree with you.
But, Dupes, the thing is, I'm watching the game last night, and the wonderful thing about social media, why it's called social media, is I'm reading Twitter, Facebook. My friends are texting me from across the country watching that game, and it's all about the crowd. And I'm sick of the crowd discussion. It's not even the end of, it's not even the middle of July yet, and I'm tired of the crowd, the bashing of the crowds. But once a snowball gets rolling downhill, it's tough to stop.
It is. It's really hard to stop. And I know, hey, if you don't like the crowds, get to the game. If you're tired of the crowds being small, get to the game. But it doesn't work like that. Unfortunately, there has to be a want to get to the game. You can't just because I want there to be more people there. That's not a reason for me to go to the game and spend probably 4 hours of my day when you think about getting ready, going to the game, time you spend in line, all that kind of stuff, and then leaving. That's just not enough. You have to actually want to go there. You have to actually be invested. And there's a bigger problem than just, you know, people not showing up. There's a reason why people aren't showing up. We have to figure it out. And a lot of it is there's just a disconnect between the teams and the fan bases. And it comes back to, you know, I think a big reason of it is the players, right? Not having that fabric that we had with the Durants and the Getzlaffs and the people. That's my biggest thing. It really is.
It's mine too. But the sports doctor is one of those guys that we sit and watch games and text back and forth. And last night was one of those. And he brought up about how in Winnipeg, if he asked the average person on the street, name five Bombers, they couldn't do it. And I bet you the average person here in Saskatchewan would have a tough time with the Riders.
Yep.
That's just the truth.
Yep.
And he goes, times changed. In the 80s, I knew all the Bomber players. They were out at car dealerships. They were shaking hands. They were doing this. Yep. The players don't want to do that anymore. Yep. Life has changed.
Yep.
Their spare time is their spare time.
Agreed.
So, but I said, I bet you people could name 15 of the Jets. And why is that?
Probably could.
And he said, because 82 games were on television in their homes.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I don't want to fight with you, Dave, but I'm trying to say
Something needs to change.
Yeah.
You know? And I know that we don't have time today. Where are we going for lunch, Paul?
Not sure yet. It's up to you.
Not sure yet.
One last dance at...
Our ownership group is having a... we're having an owners meeting.
We have one last...
Wait a minute. Lynch is coming because he's with me. Is that okay?
No, I better not, eh?
Absolutely.
Yeah, of course you're invited, Lynch. Sure. Where do you want to go for lunch, Lynch? It's a Lynch lunch.
Moxie's. No, we can't go there.
Why not?
Too expensive.
No, it's I'm buying.
I just figured we'd have one last dance at Famoso, but
we could do that too. As of Monday, I'm no longer the owner of a pizza shop.
Better use my discount card. Well, I
Let's
still
get the
can.
Discount. You taking the discount card? We'll figure it out when we go.
I actually felt sorry for Mike Riley last night walking off the field. He looked so disappointed.
The show's over, Lynch.
And hurt. Oh, okay.
Stop talking football.
That is amazing.
Saskatoon.
Oh wow.
Saskatoon. We'll see you tonight. Rattlers and the Honey Badgers, 7 p.m. at Sastel Center. Thanks for watching The Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live.
That was funny.
For more Rod Peterson on demand, visit rodpeterson.com.